Thanks, Lindsay. Well, a number of months ago, at the beginning of summer, a transformation took place in one part of our backyard. As a few of us, that's myself, Michelle, and my dad, got to work on our old barbecue area. Tiles were broken. Tiles were chipped. Paint was fading. Paint was peeling. Things were far from what they could have been. Well, the idea began with Michelle seeing the possibilities and the potential of what could have been. I've got to admit that the idea didn't begin with me, and I was a little skeptical at first. Then, of course, came the obligatory trip to Bunnings. But over time, with some rearranging and some retiling and some redecorating, it had been restored and it had been transformed. It looked nothing like it looked before. There's much that is broken and there's much that is chipped or there's much that is faded or that is peeling in all of us as people. There's much in all of us that needs transforming to become the people that God has for us to be. Because God not only calls us back into relationship, into relationship with Him and through others, through community as we looked at last week, but God calls us to be transformed as well. And He calls us to be transformed by Him, but a key part of that process of transformation is in and through community. Self-help does not change our core broken and sinful nature. We are not capable of changing who we are in and of ourselves. But the good news is that God is. God can and God does work. God sees the potential and the possibilities. God knows what we can become, and God wants not for us to just stay where we're at, wherever we're at, but God wants to move us forward to reflect more of who He created us to be, and not simply who He created us to be, but who He calls us to be in Jesus. And in the reading that Lindsay read to us from the book of Philippians, in verse 12, Paul says this: "Not that I have already obtained all of this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." In other words, the reason for us moving forward into greater transformation under God and the work of His Spirit, the whole purpose of that comes about because of what Christ Jesus has taken hold of in us, what Christ Jesus has done for us. And many people misunderstand this. They think that when someone becomes a follower of Jesus, that the good news, that's the core thing, that the good news of Jesus is simply about being able to have our sins forgiven and so to speak, have a ticket to heaven. But that is to miss a key and central part of what the good news of Jesus means and what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Because the good news of Jesus and to be a follower of Jesus is also equally about being able to be transformed by the work of God in our lives on this earth to reflect the image of God more fully. That is what spiritual formation and that is what spiritual transformation is about. And it is central to God's purposes for us. Three things that we're going to look at this morning about our spiritual formation or our spiritual transformation. And those two words are very closely connected. They're essentially the same thing. Formation is the word out of which transformation comes. But the first thing is this: spiritual formation or spiritual transformation is a process of God's work. Those verses in Philippians, verses 12 to 14, certainly indicate that. When Paul says, again, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." He goes on to say, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." These verses show us that no matter who we are, no matter where we're at, we are only part of the way when it comes to spiritual formation. God's got more work to do in me. God's got more work to do in you. God has got more work to do in all of us, no matter what stage of life you're at, age of life, or life as a follower of Jesus. Because the word in the original language, the word morpho, that was used to speak of formation or transformation, is actually a word that was also used to describe the formation or the growth of an embryo within a mother's womb over time. And in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, Paul actually links those two directly when he says, "My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you." So, in other words, just as an embryo begins as a barely recognizable form of life at first, and then over time, the embryo is transformed or it is formed into a fully formed human being, so it is with God's work in us. This is the original meaning. This is the original intent of what Paul was saying. You might not even be aware of God's work in you at first. It may be barely recognizable. But over the process of our lives, God by His Spirit wants to grow and shape and form us so that what? So that Christ is formed in us. So that our lives are reflecting more of Christ. More of Christ in our attitudes. More of Christ in our actions. More of Christ in all that we are and all that we do. Now, none of us start off as fully formed Christ-like people. None of us become fully formed Christ-like people instantly. None of us actually become fully formed Christ-like people in this life even, as we'll come to look at later. But over the process of time, God works in us by His Spirit to change us more and more, to grow us, to become more like Jesus. And 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, describes that process where it says, "We all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are all being transformed into His image with ever-increasing glory. This comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." So let me be clear about this. We are all at different places, and we are all in different seasons, but we are all somewhere in the process of God's work in our lives. For some of you, that may be the season of seeking after God. Even if you're not at the place of a fully formed faith yet, that has taken the step of becoming a follower of Jesus, even though that may not be fully formed in you yet, your faith, you're seeking after God, and you're trying to put the pieces of the puzzle of faith and life together. That is the work of God. That is a God work in you, beginning that sense of developing more into all that God has for you. For others of you, you're at the place of developing or deepening your faith, life, and witness as a follower of Jesus. And there's something that's known as the Engels scale. And the Engels scale depicts this sense of how God's work in all of us, no matter who we are or where we're at, is a process. And we're all at different places in that. When someone can go, because of God's work, from being very antagonistic towards God to actually being a little bit open towards God. Someone can, and that is the work of God, equally as it is the work of God for someone who's got a faith and is a follower of Jesus to be growing in that. The point is this: it's not just about about God's work being when someone becomes a follower of Jesus, takes the step of faith. God's work is before that, and God's work is after that as well, and they are all important parts of the process of God moving us beyond where we're at. There are stepping stones for all of us today to take on beyond where we're at, wherever you're at in faith and in life. God is wanting to take you beyond where you're at. God's seeds are planted in all of us. God's seeds are planted in all of us continually. God's seeds that need to be watered, God's seeds that need to be grown, so that those God's seeds flourish and spring up to become all that they could be, instead of floundering and becoming only part of what they could be.
So the first really important thing to understand about spiritual formation and transformation is that it is a process. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens right through our lifetime. Second thing that we need to understand is about community. That spiritual formation or transformation takes place most effectively in community. And this is not to in any way downplay the importance of what Greg has talked about personal reading of the Bible and personal prayer and personal allowing God to speak to you. That's important too. And it's not in any way to downplay the importance of what we do when we come together on a Sunday to worship and to be taught from God's Word. But community, when it comes to spiritual formation or transformation, community is what is most effective. It will lead to greater spiritual formation and transformation than anything I teach from God's Word on a Sunday will. It will lead to greater spiritual formation or transformation than anything even that you read during the week from God's Word. Let me give you the example. Giant redwood trees, or sequoia, or whatever, however you pronounce that name, are some of the largest trees that there are in the world. They've grown incredibly over time. They're known as these giant trees, and they reach hundreds of feet up into the air. Most of them are found in California, in America. But I'll let you into a secret. You can see them in Victoria. There's groups of them down in the Otway Ranges. I've stood beneath them, and I've looked up, and I've thought, what is it about these trees that means that they have grown as they have? What is it about these trees that makes them higher than any other tree? That means that their growth is sustained beyond other trees? What is it about these trees that have enabled them to stand firm and strong through countless years and seasons and storms and strong winds? Well, the answer wasn't as I thought. The answer wasn't that it was the depth of their roots in the ground, because the depth their roots in the ground only go down about 4 feet. The answer is not how deep they go down. The answer is what's around them. They only grow in groves or groups of trees. And under the surface of the ground, their roots, even though they only go down about 4 feet, their roots are intermingled with each other to help each other grow. No giant redwood or no sequoia grows as effectively alone. That's true for any of us too. Because every time the Bible speaks about spiritual formation or transformational growth, it is in the context of community. It is not in the context of on your own. Verse 17, here in Philippians chapter 3, after Paul has spoken about pressing on and growing and being transformed, in verse 17 he says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. So he's drawing to our attention there as well that we need others around us to grow in the way that God intends us to. This is about sharing life, sharing relationship, spurring one another on in faith. And as we've said over the last few weeks, and we will continue to say, being in circles of small groups and not simply in rows on a Sunday service makes that possible in a greater way, where we look out for one another, where we encourage and spur one another on, where we keep one another on track, where we intertwine our lives, our relationships, our faith, where we pray for one another, where we help one another live out our identity in Christ, where we stretch and grow and learn from one another. Small groups are certainly not the only place where spiritual formation and growth can happen, but they are certainly the primary place where it happens. And that is why they are such a key role in the life and focus here at Beaumaris Baptist moving forward. The author Robert Mulholland puts it like this: we can no more be conformed to the image of Christ outside corporate spirituality or community than a coal can continue to burn outside of the fire. And over the weeks and months ahead, We will be giving you all opportunities to link into to a small group if you are not already linked into one in one way or another. And I'm not afraid to say up front, it is not an optional extra if you're going to become all that God has for you to be. Rick Warren puts it this way: community is not built on convenience, but on the conviction that I need it for spiritual health and growth. I need that. All of us need that. I need other people to journey with. I need other people to encourage and spur me on. I need other people to keep me on track spiritually. I need other people to help me live out my identity in Christ. I need other people to stretch and grow and stretch and grow me. And I'm not alone in that. That's true of all of us. Thirdly and finally, though, this morning, our spiritual formation and transformation is made complete in our heavenly citizenship. It's great to have a bit of an international flavour to the church family, because there are quite a number of you who have emigrated to Australia from other parts of the world. And I was speaking with someone recently about this, and they were telling me the difference between their life before they came to Australia and their life here. They were telling me how they were eagerly awaiting their coming to an ultimate citizenship in Australia, with all that that meant. Well, what does Paul say here in Philippians chapter 3? First in verse 14 and then verse 18 onwards. In verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, where? Heavenward, in Christ Jesus. And then when we read on to verse 18, we get a contrast where Paul is talking about people who live just for the things of this earth. He says, for as I've often told you before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But, and here's the contrast, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will what? Will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. These are incredible verses, and the passage that I was going to speak on and preach on this morning was set. I set the teaching series typically a couple of months in advance, and so that was set when I went to visit Joy just hours before God called her home. And as I travelled there, I prayed about what I would be reading with her, and God led me to tell her what I was going to be speaking on this Sunday and to read these verses to her. So I read these verses hours before she died, and we talked about the reality of them together. And the smile on her face just hours before she passed away was vibrant. She knew the reality that her transformation was going to be complete when she went to heaven, that even though God had been at work in her through this life, and God had been at work in her in a way where she had reflected significantly God and his transformation in her, she knew that would only be complete in heaven. We are all simply passing through life on this earth. But while we are passing through, so to speak, while we are living life on this earth, God wants to be at work in us to form and to transform us spiritually to reflect more of Jesus Christ. And as I said, that was certainly true of Joy. But our spiritual formation and transformation only becomes complete, though. It culminates in heaven. Why? Because that is our ultimate citizenship. That is what we should be eagerly awaiting for and looking forward to, knowing that we will always be incomplete in this life, but we will be complete one day, perfectly, with Christ in heaven. That is why it is so important to understand that what God is doing in us on this earth is preparing us for eternity. It's not an optional extra. Because if you don't want to be formed spiritually or transformed spiritually in life on this earth, you better get used to it. Because in heaven, there's this ultimate and complete sense of spiritual formation and transformation. That's why it's so important that we are allowing Christ to be formed in us on this earth, that we're experiencing community on this earth, that we are stepping into all that God has for us in this life, before we step into all that he has for us beyond this life. As I close, are you stepping from one stepping stone to another, wherever you're at, in your life, in your faith, in your witness? What's the next step that God has for you? Is it to be a part of a small group? Is it to serve? Is it your life and witness to others? Is it some transformation in attitudes? Is it some transformation in character development? Is it some transformation to reflect more of Christ in your life? Is it allowing the Spirit of God to be at work in some way, inwardly or outwardly, so that your life reflects more and more of Christ being formed in you? Whatever the step is, it'll be different for all of us. But the important thing is that we don't stand still, that we don't simply stay where we're at, but that we're taking those steps forward into more and more of what God has for us to be and to do. Let's pray together. God, we acknowledge that all of us are broken and distorted and faded and scuffed reflections of who you would have us to be. God, you created us in your image, and you created us to reflect that image. But we acknowledge that we don't reflect that as fully and as completely or as clearly as we could. You and you alone are able to transform us into all that you have for us to be. We know that we have a long way to go in that, no matter who we are and no matter what stage of faith or life we're at. But God, thank you that you are able to transform us to reflect you and your image more clearly. You are able to enable by your Spirit those God seeds that you plant in us to spring up and to flourish and to grow. Thank you, God, that you call us into community and you call us into a relationship with others. Where we not simply are in relationship and have a sense of friendship there, but out of that, a sense of your transforming of us. Thank you that you call us into changed, to be changed, to grow, that you call us into character development, but most of all, in and through all of this, that you call us to know the reality of your heavenly citizenship. Thank you for the seeds that you plant in all of us, the God seeds by your Spirit. Help us to do all that we can to respond to those, to do all that we can to water and to cultivate those, so that your Spirit will take us beyond where we're at. Help us to recognize what that next step is for each of us, and to allow you to be at work in and through us. Your work of restoration, your work of formation, your work of transformation. And we pray all this not for ourselves or for in any sense of our own glory, but for you and for your glory, our Creator and our Saviour, in whose name we pray. Amen.